Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Repeat after me, the only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it according to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Clap those hands and give yourself a seat. Anybody grateful for Jesus? This is the day the Lord hath made. We just ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Y'all ready for the word of the Lord? This is part three of our second series. As we just keep on proving that Jesus is greater than everything. Someone just say, he's greater. Now we have begun to look at Jesus being superior to the angels. And we've come to understand that even his name is greater. If it wasn't going to freak y'all out for some of y'all, I should have put some of them angel pictures back on the screen. But we've come to understand that no matter what you think about angels, Jesus is greater. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer doubles down on his point in verse 5 of chapter 1, where he says this, "For to which of the angels did he ever say?" You got to put a little emphasis on that. What angel have you ever heard me say, you are my son? Today I have begotten you. It's a rhetorical. I can answer it. None of them. And again, I'll be a father to him and he shall be a son to me. He doubles down even more in verse 6. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Now, the name of Jesus is better than the angels. But the same angels who are beneath his name are commanded to worship him. Y'all stay with me. His name is above the angels. Just his name. And the same angels who are beneath his name are commanded to worship him. Someone say, the angels worship. Now, if the greatness of his name demands worship from the angels, what do you think his works call for? Oh, it's quiet. If I worship at his name, how you think I'm supposed to act when he do something? If the angels, them ones with all them wings and eyes and wheels and swords. If the angels, the ones that stand in his presence, are commanded to worship his name, how we got a problem worshiping when he wake you up? I just don't feel like it. I'm sorry. I don't see Lakasha feelings in the text. Brother Art, if you find some feelings in here, you let me know. Some of us are waiting to feel it before you worship. If you need to feel something, breathe. I know that in the body of Christ, it done got a little weird because we got some of this metaphysical mumbo jumbo where folks is rubbing on stones, doing all manner of tomfoolery. However, there is a portion of meditation that I'm not going to let them have. And that's when you concentrate on the breath. I'm not giving that to the world. Y'all can't have that. Y'all can rub on rocks if you want to. The breath belongs to the Lord. And it's something interesting how it says, you know, when you're going through a guided meditation, they'd be like, just don't think about nothing but the breath. Concentrate on the breath. Think about this for a second. Concentrate on the very thing that you can't give yourself. The thing that's in you and you don't know how it got there. Literally, in the womb, you breathe something completely different. Your body was functioning well encased in fluid. You're literally encased in fluid and surviving fine. Put your head in a pool right now and see how much air you got. Don't put your whole body in there, just stick your head in there. So God is so powerful that in your developmental stage, he's already telling the world that your existence is supernatural. Because you're existing in an environment that makes no sense. And then you come into the world and the same lungs that weren't affected living in fluid take on air and go, cool, all right, we can do this. And you mean to tell me that we wake up every morning and go and don't worship? The baby comes out the womb, and until the baby cries, they're not sure everything's okay. Okay, okay. The baby comes out the womb, and if that baby is silent, they're like, wait a minute. But when they hear the baby cry, when the child cries out, they go, all is well, because we've heard the cry of life. Y'all. So I got angels. And y'all gonna see in a minute that the worship that God wants is a cry. Never mind. I'll show it to you in the text. Give me a second. I can't understand how some of us treat worship like it's a preference. like it's a genre, like it's an ethnicity. Oh, that's Pentecostal worship. That's apostolic worship. That's Baptist worship. That's myth. What does that even mean? Do y'all really think we're going to get to heaven? And as we're walking in, the attendant is like, all of the apostolics to my right. Church of God in Christ, please go to my left. To the Anglicans, there. For the Baptists, down here. That's not what's going to happen. God is not looking for our denomination. He's looking for our cry. Isaiah chapter 6. I show you how angels worship. Isaiah chapter 6. Look at what it says in verse 1. Are we there? It's on the screen. But I need to turn in my paper Bible. In the year King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty, exalted, his train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim, here go these six-winged jokers, stood above him, each having six wings. Two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, two he flew, and one called out to another. Some translations say they cried. The angels cried or called out. Notice what it don't say. They sang. Notice it don't say they danced. It don't say they gave. Because worship is not a song. Oh, that's a wonderful worship song. Is it? Who does it talk about? Who does it talk about? Well, you know, it talked about how I was broken and bruised and down and out and trampled and looked over and run amok, beat upside the head. It made me cry. What a song of worship. That wasn't a song of worship. That talks about you. Huh? That right there, that's country. That's the blues. That's the blues. You talk about genres. That's the blues. So, the seraphims teach us in all their splendor, all their power, all their authority, they teach us how to worship. Number one, y'all ready? If I don't get past this text, I'll feel okay. Number one, worship begins with awareness. Worship begins with awareness. And let me make it even more specific. It begins with awareness of self. If you're gonna worship God, you got to first be aware of who you are, which by virtue should tell you who you're not. Look at the angels. These angels have six wings. That's some type of angel, ain't it? Six wings. Two, he's covering his face. Two, he's covering his feet. And got two left over so he can fly. The more you think about it, watch this. Angels, all their splendor, all their authority, all their power, won't look at God. They won't even look at God. Y'all missed it. Angels in God's presence literally say, that's too much. Angels, they live in heaven. They walk on streets made with gold. These are angels. They exist outside of time, space, all of that. And these same angels come in the presence of God and go, that's too much. And we get in the presence of God and clown and put up disco balls, desecrate his sanctuary, wear all your club clothes to church, still smell like last night. I'm trying to figure this out. Because if an angel will say, that's too much, how you think you okay? We ought to be constantly aware that we, without grace, are messed up. I'm serious. You should be constantly, constantly aware that you, without grace, are a problem. He's good. He's right there. He's good. That you, without mercy, are an issue. Constantly aware. I said constantly. How aware? Look at your life. No, for real. Okay. How many of y'all, how many of you in this room are not afraid to admit you done some dumb stuff? The angels, in the presence of God, they come to God and go, uh-uh. You talk to God any old type of way? You treat God any old type of way? Even when you're praying, you say stuff in prayer like, God, now I know what you're going to do for me. Who are you talking to?
Right.
You all right? That leg. Good playoff. Good playoff. Good job. Stop dropping rope. So I got two over his face. Then, watch this, listen, I got two on my feet. So first of all, I got angels who are like, that's too much. Then I got, remember when God came before Moses? And he comes before Moses, not even on the throne, but in a burning bush. And even in the midst of a burning bush, the bush said, the burning bush said, take your shoes off. Are y'all here? Wait, y'all not here. Moses is on a mountain. He's not on the throne. The bush is burning. The bush told Moses, because, watch this, because something I did is here. Take your shoes off, because I don't want none of where you've been around me. Because your shoes carry where you've walked through. And if you're going to be in my presence, take your journey off. I don't want none of where you've been with me. Now I'm on, watch this, I got angels on the throne. This too much. Then they cover their feet. They're like, okay, hold on. First of all, I'm not even going to try to put my feet down where God is. Because the other two wings keep them suspended. I'm going to cover my feet, and I'm not even touching the ground where you are. And we doing soul train lines in the sanctuary. So the first part of my worship, I got two covering my eyes, I got two covering my feet, I got two, I'm flying, I'm keeping myself off. And the other thing about those wings that make them fly is they were surrounding the environment. I don't want no part of this atmosphere to go without hearing holy. Got 1,000 words to a song and don't none of them cry holy. Got the worship leader up there with their lyrics in their hand. And God was like, I didn't need to hear all that. Worship begins with awareness of self. But here's number two. After the awareness of self, the second part of worship is acknowledgement. The second part of worship is acknowledgement. Say acknowledgement. Once I figure out who I am, the next thing is who you are. Here's what they say. Holy. God, listen to me. This is important. Don't do it too fast. God is holy. Slow down. God is holy. We say it, and somewhere in our head, what we interpret it is God does holy. God is holy. Still like so. So if somebody was to say, well, what is holiness? Someone would say, oh, it's purity and it's righteousness and it's right living. Mm-mm, no. What is holiness? God. God is holy. His holiness is the standard, the benchmark, the blueprint. So when he says, be ye holy, for I am holy, he's not giving you a suggestion. He's saying, be like me. So when one is crying to another, holy, this literally means that angels worship by saying his name. Because his name is his character. Worship that doesn't tell you who he is not worship. I got angels. They not like, it is bad. I've been flying all day. My work is hard. It's really a lot. He sends me all over. I do thousands of miles. That's not angel worship. Angel, holy. No complaints. No, my wings are tired. Can I rest? Holy. Nothing, I got somewhere to be. Nothing, how long church gonna be today? None of that. Holy. None of that. This ain't my favorite song. Because watch this. The worshiper don't pick the song that the one being worshiped wants to hear. How in the world are we picking songs and not consulting the one who we worshiping? Consecrate Aaron and his sons, Exodus 30:30, that they may minister to me. In other words, when we get up here, Lord, do you want to hear that? I might really like it and you might hate it. His holiness is the standard, the benchmark, the blueprint. Be holy because I'm holy. He doesn't say be holy because somebody else is holy. He don't say be holy like somebody else. It's easy to find someone whose holiness you feel you can obtain. Yes, sir. It's easy to find someone in the earth that's just a little bit better than you and make them your mentor. As opposed to saying, God, you're the standard. And until I get there, I'm still pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's not hard. That's actually easier. Wait a minute, y'all missed it. Some people hear that and they go, oh, that's too hard. He's God. He's way up there. It's actually easier. Because if you keep making all these other people your standard, what happened when they fall? At least I know if God is my standard, it's fixed. It's always the same. He says there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. It don't make no difference. The basketball rim don't get no higher or lower. Therefore, if I can't reach it, I don't have to be mad about tomorrow is going to be higher. I just train to jump higher. The rim is the rim is the rim. So if you get up there and all you can do is... then you need to go to the gym.
Weight on shoulders. Do you some squats. Some planks. Something. Get them legs together. Train. It's not hard. We're lazy. Don't tell me it's too high. I can't get there. All right, Spud Webb. Don't tell me that. That little dude could dunk. He was down here somewhere. He was real aerodynamic. He's shorter than me, and I'm short. He's real aerodynamic. Truth is, we don't reach the standard because we don't want to. We just don't want to. Because if the murderer Paul can be pleasing in God's sight, if the murderer David can turn things around, if the murderer Moses can go ahead and get God's people, what's wrong with us? You had a late bill and you don't think that God can do it. Does this make sense? So the angels know who they are. The angels know who God is. The angels know who they are. The angels know who God is. One more time. The angels know who they are. The angels know who God is. Now I got a result. All this, that's the foundation of worship right there. Who are you? Who is he? That's the foundation. Who are you? Who is he? Foundation. Now, here's what happens, because they've given us a blueprint. Y'all okay? Y'all focus. Verse 4. The foundation of the threshold. There we go. Foundation of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Stop. You mean to tell me that when I know who I am and I know who he is, the earth responds. The earth responds to the alignment between creature and creator. Did y'all hear what I said? The earth responds when creature and creator come together. And we go, God, I know who you are and I know who I am. We good? We good. Now all of a sudden, what's impossible? All things are possible to them that believe. God, I know who I am. I know. See, nobody's thinking more highly of themselves than we ought to think. Everything's in the proper place. And when everything's in the proper place and we in one accord, now the Holy Spirit can work. But when you still thinking you better than you are, God is like, I'll wait. The whole earth responds. The next thing is an atmosphere of truth is created. An atmosphere of truth is created. What do you mean? Look at verse five. It says, then I said, this is Isaiah, woe is me. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me. I'm a mess. This is what happened when worship is right. When worship is right, truth got to get told. When the atmosphere of worship is right, everybody in there like, whoa. In me there's light and no darkness at all. Whoa. I can't keep living like this. This is why some people don't like worship. They just like songs. Because the person with the mic is messed up. Nobody's going to lead you into pure worship when they know that that worship would reveal them. Ain't nobody going to lead you into pure worship when they know that they're sleeping with the musician. Huh? And some of the choir members. And some of the leaders. All at the same time. Don't look at me in that tone of voice, because that's the very type of gossip that we promote. Yeah. Yeah. Those are the stories that go viral, not the ones of how many people got saved, not the ones of who got healed. The ones that go viral is, can you believe what we done found out about insert person name here? The angels, listen, didn't bring nobody else up in their worship, including themselves. So I know who I am. I know who he is. everything begins to respond, and then truth is created, and then finally, look at verse 6. One of the seraphim flew with a burning coal in his hand, which he took from the altar with tongs, verse 7. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is forgiven. As soon as truth is in the atmosphere, worship becomes a conduit for change. It's not like he said, woe is me. And God was like, too bad. That's not what happened, y'all. Woe is me. Worship said, I can fix that. If you tell the truth in the right environment, you can get healed. If you tell the truth in the right environment, you can get healed. Don't cast your pearl of truth before the swine of a swindler, the swine of a gossip, even the swine of some of your family who really love you broken. Huh? There are some people around you who got a bunch of questions, but don't want you no better. They just want to hear the story. They just want to know. And matter of fact, they are perpetuating and keeping you down. If I can't cry to another in the same environment as me and we sync up with our worship, something's wrong. Holy, somebody, I'll be like, yep, holy. So they crying to another because God knows who he is. He wants to see if we do. Holy, 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 holy. One should be crying to another. Are y'all with me? Now, here's the thing, and I'm going to end here. Listen to me real close. If the angels worship like that, if the angels, them jokers can fly. I walk. If angels worship like that, what should our worship be like? I'll say this and I'll be through. Listen, the hour cometh. And now is. It's John 4. I was going to put it on the screen, but I'm just going to say it. Where the true worshipers shall worship the Father. They shall worship him in spirit and in truth. Because the Father seeks such to worship him. God is not looking for performers. God is not looking for entertainers. God is not looking for individuals to be famous. He's looking for worshipers. People who are going to be honest. People who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not looking for somebody to make a name for themselves. God is looking for us to make his name great. God is not looking for us to exalt our name above his. God wants to know, will you worship me? Do you know who I am and do you know who you are? Everybody in this place, hands lifted. Some of us need to tell the truth. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we need you. Forgive us for not worshiping. Forgive us for only singing. Forgive us for performing, orchestrating, trying to fit you in a box. God, help us be the church you're looking for, the worshiper you're looking for. God, we thank you that that worship will change atmospheres. That worship will bring truth. That worship will bring burning coals off of the fire and change our lips. We thank you because we believe it is so. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Clap those hands. Come on, clap those hands and give God honor.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.